We've been talking about the halacha shmira v'vayilim. Even though there's rules of a shomer, a shamechina mischaya for a pshia, a shomer sachar for a gneva v'aveda, renter also, a sachar also, gneva v'aveda, we'll be talking about that next week. And a shoel, when anything, even an onus, if the owner of the object is working for that shomer, whether he's getting paid for the work, or he's just volunteering, he just gave him a glass of water like we learned last week. So then, if that occurred at the beginning of the Shmira, the beginning when he was supposed to start watching it, the owner was working for that Shomer, then the Shomer is potter from any liability. We said even Pshia, according to the most poskim, the exception was if he would break it, the Yodayim, so that he's a Mazik, that he's not going to be potter from that. But he's potter from any liability, even Pshia. So tonight we're going to talk about, you saw the email case, there's a Shliach Tzibur who was going up to the Amid and he didn't want to take his cell phone with him, and he gave it to someone to watch, and the person agreed to take it. That wasn't an issue. He made a kinyan on the cell phone, put it down in front of him, and then he was poshaya. He did not watch it properly. So is he chayiv to pay the Shliach Tzibur for the cell phone? That's the question. Now, there's no Gemaras about a Shliach Tzibur, but first we have to talk about what there is a Gemara about, and that is a Rebbe or a Rav or a Stama person giving a Shir. Right, let's leave the Shliach Tzibur aside for a half hour, and let's talk about someone giving a Shir. Suppose someone goes up to give a Shir, and he hands someone his cell phone on the way up to the shir. At that point, is he working for the shomer, or is the shomer working for who's working for who at that point? Right, that's what we talked first about, someone giving a shir. When we talk about that, then we can go back to the case of the Shliach Tzibur. So let's see the Gemara first. And then I have two pages of just details typed up here. I my own notes here, but I think let's get the Gemara straight as we can, and then we'll see the different types of shiurim. Before we get to a shiur, what kind of shiur? We'll have to talk about there's so many different types of shiurim. There's a Gemara shiur. There's a halacha shiur. There's a hashkafa shiur. There's a Shabbos Agadol drasha. There's two people learning together, but we're going to have to deal with all these different types of shiurim. There's going to be a difference in halacha, I think, between them all. So let's see the Gemaras first. The Gemara starts on Tzadi Zayin Amid Aleph, and then we'll see some of these cases. Amar Rava. Rava said this is in between the Gemara we did last week. We did the Gemara before this last week, the Gemara after, we're filling in what we missed last week. Amar Rava. Makri Dariki Shasala Tabacha. These are all jobs that people used to do for the whole city. He's the Rebbe for the children, teaches them Aleph Beis, teach them how to read. Or Shasla, he's the gardener for anyone in the city. Tabach, he's the city butcher. Vumana, he lets blood for anyone in the city. Safar Masa, he's the town barber. Kula Bihidin Avidatayu, when they're doing their job, when they're actually working, Kishaila Babalam Damo, that's like, that's the case of Shayla of the Bialim. In other words, if they ask the person they're working on to watch something of theirs, right, the barber said, here, watch my cell phone, and then he cuts that person's hair, and the person getting the haircut was Poshea and lost the cell phone. So that's a din of Shayla of the Bialim. Here, we're talking about borrowing, but the same thing would be of a regular Shomer Chinam. He's not going to be Chayiv, because the barber was working for him. So anytime the owner of the object is working for the shomer is pater even for pshia. The Gemara is listing all these cases. Now, the Gemara says, "Be'idin avetai," when they're working, this is behind what we were talking about last week, the rush and the tosos from a dai. It doesn't have to be they're actually working, even if they're getting ready to work, they're preparing to work. Right, because we had this here between that and the case of Amira, they don't have to, you need more than an oral declaration that they're going to work, but even if they're just getting ready to work, that's called Shmira Vavayim, even if they're not actually working at that second. I just do want to point out by the case of a garden, the others, the Pesukim point out if it's nighttime when you don't garden, or during the meal time that he has certain meal time, so then at that time he's certainly not working for the people of the city. So at that point, at that time of day, it won't be a case of Sheila Levayim. It has to be the time when he's working. So lav dafka he's actually working, like we're saying, it's lav dafka that be Eden Avi, the time when he's actually working, but it has to be the time when he is subject to work, when he's supposed to be working, when he's supposed to be available for working. We'll see it's going to be Nogeya, our case. Okay, so that we're going to leave aside the case of an Uman. Now we get to the case we were talking about. Amrei Rabbanan L'Rava. The Chachamim, the Rabbanan in the Yeshiva, said to Rava. Rava was the Rosh Yeshiva, he was their Rebbe. And they said to Rava, Sho'el Lon Mar, you are working for us. You're working for us, and therefore, if you give us something to watch, and we lose it, even if it's with a Pshia, we won't be chayiv. Because you're working for us, you teach us Torah. So the difference between a gardener, a mikredarti, someone teaching alafes, a barber, all these cases, or you're teaching us, you're working for us. So if we lose the thing that you asked us to watch as a shomer, so we won't be chayiv. That's shomer b'bailim. You're working for us. So Akdin, Rava, was upset. He said to them like this, so you're trying to get rid of my money, you're trying to take away my money, that if, you know, you're trying to find out some trick here, that if I give you something to watch or I lend you something and you lose it, you'll be potter. Adirav, it's just the opposite. You're working for me. Why is that? I can just switch mesechta at will. I can switch mesechtas anytime I want for my good. Rashi says, like, if I want to remember a certain mesechta, I want to go through a certain sugya, so that's for my good. And you're here, my sounding board, so you're working for me. And atun lama tisul ishtamute, you can't switch mesechtas. If I was really working for you, so then you could come to me one day and say, look, we're tired of Avmetzia, let's learn Bava Kama. Now we're tired of Bava Kama, let's learn Shabbos. But you can't do that. I'm the one that's deciding what mesechta to be learned here. So Rashi says, Atun Shilton Li, you're working for me, Le Malachti, you're at my work. Shekashani Chafis Lahaska Mesecha Sacharis. If I want to start another Mesechta, Shalatishka for many, I shouldn't forget it. You can't protest. So you're at my disposal for me to be able to learn a Mesechta, and if you teach a Mesechta, you remember it better, you go through it better. So you're working for me, I'm not working for you.
I mean, does it mean to say that he is really, it's not up to them what they're learning. He's the one who decides what
they're
going to learn.
That's right.
So he's really in charge.
So since he's in charge, so
they're the ones working for him.
They're working for me, even though he's not paying them, but we learned last week, you know, that's the Lashon Shel Yilton, you're borrowed to me. It's, as long as you're helping me out, whether it's for fee or for pay, you are considered my worker, and therefore it's just the opposite. Since you're working for me, if you lend me something on my way up to the shtender, and you lend me something, you gave me something to watch, and I lost it, so I'll be putter, because you, the owner, is working for me, because I can switch mesechtas, and you can't switch mesechtas. That's what Rava said. Of course, you have a machlokas Rava, and his talmidim Rava is right, and that's halacha. That if the Rebbe has the ability to choose which Masechta to learn, and the Gemara says they cannot choose, they cannot switch, so he's considered the Bala of us, and they're working for him. Right? So therefore, if he gives them something to watch and they lose it, they'll be fired, because he's not working for them. If they give him something to watch and he loses it, so he'll be potter, because they are working for him, he's not working for them. So that's a halacha. The Gemara, though, limits this halacha. The Gemara says, Lohi, it's not always so completely, it's not 100% true. Because Ihu Shal Rubiyama de Kala, in those days they used to have drashas before each yantiv, and there was a minhag, they would have something called a Kala, where the Rosh Yeshiva, the Rebbe, would talk about the halachas of the coming Yantiv, the upcoming Yantiv. Sort of nowadays we have a Shabbos HaGadol Drasha. So during that time, he is working for them because he can't switch the topic. He has to talk about Hilchos Pesach before Pesach. He can't give a Choshen Mishpat Shir. He has to talk about Inyona Deyuma. And but the rest of the year, they are, like Rava said, they're borrowed for him, they're working for him, even though once again he's not paying them, but their services are used for his disposal. So the rest of the year we would say, like Rava said, if they gave him something to watch and he lost it, even if it was a pshia, he would be pater because they're working for him. Just during the time of the Kala, during the time of that special Joshua, he has to learn, he has to teach that specific limud, that specific halachi, can't change from it. So at that point in time, he's working for them, and then the halacha would be, if he gave them something to watch, and they lost it on his way up, but he has to, like we said last week, he has to actually be working. Like, if he's walking up to the shtender, he's ready to start the drasha, and he gives it on the way, so that's, according to the Tosis and the Rosh, like last week, they said that's called working. If he gave it to them, and you know, he's sitting there, and he gave an hour before he even started, so that wouldn't be called Shela Be'abayim. We're talking where he gave it to them on the way up, but certainly in the middle, he said, here it says, Father me, can you hold this for me? Right, so that would be a din of Shela Be'abayim. Now the Gemara doesn't clearly say what would be if both of them can't switch. Right? When Rava said, why is it that you're working for me? Because you can't switch Mesechtos, but I can't switch Mesechtos. Suppose we both can't switch Mesechtos. So the Rosh on the Sugya says, if they both have veto power, that the Rebbe can't switch Mesechtos without the Talmidim agreeing, but the Talmidim will das Rav, and the Talmidim can't switch without the Rebbe agreeing, so then Einam Shulim Lezev Klal, they're not considered working for each other at all, because who's in charge?
Why do you say they're both in charge? That way they break each other's stuff.
Okay, so that's a good question. But this is the Rosh's Chiddush. The Rosh is saying that this halacha applies only where one of them can switch and the other can't. But if you need a mutual consent to switch Mesechtos, so the Rosh is Mechadesh, that neither is working for the other. But the Kasha, the Nesivas asks, and he asks it really in Pesachim, I'll tell you why in a second. He asks, we just said in the Kala, right, the weeks before the Yantiv, so then we said, he's working for the Talmidim because he can't switch subjects. He has to learn what they, the halachas of Pesach. He can't say, look, I want to chazer something in Kachim, and I can't do that. And he has to learn what the Yantiv is coming about. So the Mekar Chayim in Pesachim, and Nesivas asks, he asks, so they can't switch either. Mm-hmm. Right? It's before Pesach. We all know the topic's going to be Pesach. He can't switch it to Kachim. They can't switch it to Taros. They have to learn about Hilchos Pesach. So if the Rosh is correct in saying that when both of them can't switch, they're not considered working for each other at all, why is it at the time of the Kala, the few weeks before Pesach, when they had a special drasha, before Yantar, when they had a special drasha, the Rebbe's considered working for the audience, but the audience isn't working for the Rebbe? They should not be working for each other either way, according to the Rosh, because neither of them can switch the topic without mutual consent, and there won't be mutual consent because the halach is you're supposed to learn Hilchos Pesach before Pesach. He has further, and that's why he becomes a Shailan Arachayim. The Gemara, the famous Gemara, Pesachim, is where the Ran is. The Gemara says, Shalom Darshan Hilchos Pesach Kodem Pesach Shloshim Yom. You Darshan Hilchos Pesach 30 days before Pesach. The Ran explains that means that there's a halacha that if you're going to a shir, the halacha is you're supposed to ask things that are relevant to the shir. You should, if you're going to a Choshen Mishpat Shir, you don't start asking what happens if, you know, is the thing mutzah. Well, you have to ask what's relevant. So if it's 30 days before Pesach, so the Ran says it's relevant to ask about Hilchos Pesach. So the Taz, when that halacha in Simon Tavchot Chavtes in Arachayim, the Taz says, and that will also be Nogeya, the Ran will also be Nogeya, that if the Rebbe is giving a drasha on Hilchos Pesach 30 days before Pesach, so at that point in time, he's considered working for the audience. He's considered working for the Talmidim because he has to be at their disposal. They're allowed to ask anything, no matter what he's doing. They can ask him Hilchos Pesach, and he can't say, you know, it's not Nogeya now. 30 days before Pesach, Hilchos Pesach are Nogeya. So he is Meshubah to them. He's working for them at that time. That's what the Taz Paskins. So the Makar Chayim, the Nesivis over there in Arachayim, asks the same Kasha. He has to answer their questions, but they also have to learn Hilchos Pesach. They can't switch the topic either. So why, according to the Rush, that the Rush holds that when neither of them can switch Mesachbos, they are considered, neither is considered working for each other. We'll see that far later. So why is it, when you're talking, when we're learning the halachas of a yantiv before the yantiv, do we consider the Rebbe to be working for the audience, for the Talmidim, and not the Talmidim for the Rebbe? That's the Nesivus' kasha. Nesivus' answer is that the kala, the Hilchos Pesach, the halachas of a yantiv, in other words, a halacha shir, putting in the contemporary terms, the way I understand it, a halacha shir is different than a gemara shir. That's what he's saying. He's saying, if someone gets up, a rav gets up and says, I'm at your disposal for answering all your questions on Hilchos Pesach. So even though the topic is Hilchos Pesach, but he can't, first of all, he's not getting anything from it, because we said the whole reason Rava said that the Talmidim were working for him is because if I want to go over something, if I want to do things, I won't forget him, so I'll be able to have these Talmidim here to work it through, so I gain from it. But if Rav gets up there and he just allows himself to get battered with questions, and he has to answer any question that comes to him, so that's not a learning experience for the Rav. That's not something he could say, oh, I gain from this. So that's what the Nesiva says. Whenever we're talking about a halacha, whether it's the Kalin in the times of the Gemara or the Hilchos Pesach, I would say a Shabbos, Hilchos, whatever halacha are there. I think it doesn't have to be the Kala. I think it would be that he agrees, Rav agrees to say, tomorrow night we're going to learn Hilchos Shabbos. Anyone has questions, I'll be willing to answer those questions. So even though the Rav chose Hilchos Shabbos, it could be that when you're talking about that, the format is that the audience is asking the questions and he's answering them. I think the Nesivus, that's what the Nesivus is saying, that doesn't apply. You can't say the Rav is working for them, even though the topic is given and they can't change the topic without mutual consent. They both agree we're doing Hilchos Shabbos, but since the format is that they're asking him questions, it's not that they're learning a Mesechta together and he chose the Mesechta, or they both mutually chose the Mesechta, he's considered working for them and they are not working for him. The Mr. Zalman says another svara why, to answer this question, is why is it by the days of the Kala the Magid Shir is considered working for the audience, the audience is not considered working for the Magid Shir. He says, because it's different than a regular Shir. In a regular Shir, where you have the same people come, they're working it through together, it's a Chabura, like, so they're like Meshubba to each other. But this Shir before a Yantiv, when, like a Shabbos Agado Drosha, when everyone would come, the big crowd would come. So then, if someone decides not to come, he doesn't have to show up at all. He could just stay home. So you can't say that if the Rav, the Magid Shir, gave him something to watch, he's working for the... If he gave the Rav something to watch, I'm sorry, he's considered working for the Rav, because he didn't have to show up at all. As a regular Shir, we don't say such a story, we'll see soon. But this type of general public Shir, where there's a big crowd, then we consider that the Magid Shir is working for the audience, the audience is not working for the Magid Shir. Now, when we talk about Talmud who is working for the Rav, the Pesachei Choshen, he just points out that it could be, even though the original choice of the Mesechta, even though they might have chosen the Mesechta in the beginning, but since they can't change it in the middle, so now they become Meshubah to him, now they are considered working for him, because it's up to him to decide whether he wants to switch it or not. So that's as far as he adds. Now the Nesivus also adds an important point, and this is someone brought up before this year, and that is, if the Magid Shir is getting paid, he holds this Avol Rav Shu Socher L'Talmid Olam HaRav Mikri Shol L'Talmid. That's the end of Nesivos. If the Rav is getting paid, so then there's nothing to talk about. He's getting paid, so he's certainly working for the Talmud. Even though it might be that he has the choice of switching and doing different things, but that it should be for the good of the Talmud. He's getting paid to help out the Talmud. So, like the case we said with the carpenter certainly getting paid, and he gains from it. He can gain from working. And in fact, the Nesivos asks, you can have, suppose you hire a handyman and you say, look, I have 30 things I need done in my house. Choose what you want to work among them and I'll pay you for the 8 hours of work you do today. So it's up to the poel has the choice of deciding what he wants to do. So are we going to say it's like a Talmud who has an opportunity to change mesechtas and will say that the Baal HaBos is working for him? Well, of course not. He's working for the Baal HaBos. It's just that he has the opportunity to decide what he wants to do. But certainly he's getting paid to work for the Baal HaBos, and he's doing work for the Baal HaBos. In the case of a similar case would be where a Talmud hired someone to tutor him, and he says, okay, I want to learn Gemara. You can choose whatever Gemara you want. Just teach me Gemara. I want to learn Mishnais. Whatever I want, you can choose, but I want you to teach me. So certainly the Rebbe is working for the Talmud. There's nothing to talk about. And the Siva says that our whole sugya, our whole discussion is talking where there's no pay. There's no pay going on. So then we have the Shaila, just like we said, doing any type of favor, handing someone a glass of water is enough to make it considered that you're working for them. So how about if it's learning? Who is working for whom when there is learning going on? That's the one you saw the Siva says is important. Now, what's the svara of the Rush? If the Rush said the svara, so once again, we're not getting paid, no one's getting paid, and they decide to have a shiur here before Shachris, and suppose it would be that they decide to learn a certain Masechta, and they're not allowed, they made an agreement, we're not going to change Masechtas unless we both agree, unless there's mutual consent. So there, in that case, the Rush said, no one's working for anyone. So what's the svara for that? What's the Rush's svara over there? Right, if we're talking in that shiur, if the Rebbe has the ability to say, I'm learning Megillah now, and if I decide I want to learn Menachos, I'll switch to Menachos, I can switch to any Masechta I want, so then we say the Talmidim are working for the Rebbe. They are servicing the Rebbe. If the Rebbe is at their disposal, they said, could you please teach us Gemara? Right now we're in the mood to learn Megillah. And in a few months they can say, we're getting tired of this, we want to switch to Bar Mitzvah. So certainly he's at their service, he's working for them. Right? That makes sense. No one's getting paid. But you can hear that it's like giving me a glass of water. He's giving them a glass of water because he's at their service to learn whatever they want to learn. But where they both agree that we're going to start Megillah, this is going to be a serious shiur, and we agree that we're going to go through it to the end unless we both agree to switch. So the Rush says in that case, no one's working for either one. No one's working for the other. Why is that? So Mr. Zalman says as far there also, he says when you have such a situation, of course both sides benefit. The Rebbe benefits from teaching the shiur, and the Talmidim benefit from hearing the shiur. But just like last week we learned that if you're doing something for the other person, you're doing something, you're helping the other person, but it's for your own benefit, that's not called working for the other person. Right? The Rebbe gains from you going to his shiur, but I'm going for my good. I'm going because I want to hear the shiur, not because I want to help out that person there and that he should remember his learning. And the Rebbe is certainly helping the other people, but he's not giving the shiur to help the other people, let's say. He's doing it that he should remember his learning. So that's not what makes them servicing the other. The only service they're doing for each other is the fact that they can say, look, I have this at my disposal. If I ever want to chazir menachos, I have these talmidim here. And if I want to switch to choshen mishpat, I have them in here. I can do whatever I want. So that's what makes them, not the actual learning makes them working for him. The fact that he has these people at his disposal, that whenever he wants, he can switch mesechtas. He has that pasta salad, he can switch whenever he wants to. That's what makes them working for him. That's like he says, that's the Rosh Lashitasa, that as long as you're ready to do the work, that's considered that you're working for him. They're ready to switch to my beck and call to any mesechta, they're working for me. But And if I can switch, if they can switch me, so they're also, I'm working for them because they know that they have me at their disposal. Whatever they want to learn, whatever mood they're in, they can switch to.
So we're working for each other.
But if we're both, if we, neither of us can force the other to do anything, right? If I can't force you to switch and you can't force me to switch, so then no one's working for anyone. No one's getting any benefit. We're all getting the benefit of learning together. But we don't have this, we don't have this peripheral gain. We don't have this thing in our pocket that I have someone at my disposal I could switch myself, because I can't, because I can't switch unless he agrees, and he can't switch unless I agree. So that also explains why there won't be any, there won't be anyone working for each other. So Pisri Choshen says Kolshke, if you have two chavrusas, they decide, let's learn a mesachta together, and we'll make a deal that we're going to be serious and we're not going to switch until we both agree. So there's no din of she'ela v'bayim over there. They happen to both be gaining, and they both, they're gaining because they have this partner, but they're learning them, they're, the gaining is for their own good, and the other one happens to be gaining also. That's not a din of she'ela v'bayim. So, before we get to the case of the night, so we're just reviewing the case of shiurim, the case of limud ha-Torah. So, I think it'll all depend on what type of shiur it is. If someone is a shoel lemeishi, if he decides to, so when, number one, if he gets paid, so then he's working for them. So that's, we're all talking volunteering. So he's a shoel lemeishi, if he decides to sit in the base medrash, available to answer questions for all the talmidim, that anyone that wants to ask him a question. So even though he certainly gains from that, he's doing it, so he'll get experience, and from that he'll put on a resume, and he'll have some peripheral gain from that, some, you know, side bonus. But the hours that he's there, those 3 hours in the afternoon that he has to be there every afternoon, he's at their disposal. That's like at a kala, that's like the halacha shir. He's answering questions. That's not called something that he's gaining from. And certainly, he's working for them. They are not working for him. The case of a gemara shir, that I think is the simple case of a gemara. If someone's giving a gemara shir, once again, not getting paid. So if he has the right to switch mesechtos whenever he wants. So he can say, look at this, I have someone at my disposal, the way the Rabbi Zalman explained it, or just simply, I have the ability to, right now I'm doing this mesechta because I want to remember this one, and I have this mesechta because I could switch. So he has these people servicing him. So they're working for him. So since they're working for him, if they gave him something to watch, and he lost it, he's going to be patur because the bialim of that object are working for him. They're working for him. If he's a nice person, or I would say a rav of a shul, even though the rav gets paid to be the rav of the shul, but then he decides to give a gemara shir. He decides to give a gemara shir. And he could switch, and I'm sorry, the other way around. They asked him to. So that would be the case, even though he decided to give that gemara shir, but since he could switch, the pay he's getting is for being running the shul. He decided to use the people in the shul to be able to help him remember a certain mesechta. So they're still working for him. If they go to him and somehow it works out that some people get someone to say, we want to learn a certain mesechta, we want to learn this mesechta now, and we change our mind very often, do you mind teaching us? So then they're using him. They're using the Rebbe. So in that case, if the Rebbe gave them something to watch and they lost it, they would be patur because the Rebbe's working for them. A pair of chavrusas, we said, certainly no one's working for each other. Someone gives up shir to a halacha shir, staying up there to answer questions. So that's certainly the Rebbe, the Magid Shir, is working for the audience. My shir, I think that you're working for me. Because I can choose, even though I'm limited, you know, I'm limited. So I say I'm going to do Choshen Mishpah, even Hilcha Shamim. But if I decided to say, okay, I want to do a few Nezikin Shilas next week because I saw some interesting things, it is I choose the topics because I want to go through these sugyas, and I can choose what I want to, you know, what I want to do. And you come and listen, and you ask good questions, and you know, you help me work things through. So, and you don't have any right to say, next week we want to do switch topics. You can suggest, and I can agree maybe, but you know, I certainly have the right to choose whatever I want. Right, so I think this year would be a case where you're working for me, so if I would be watching something of yours during the shiur, and you know, someone gives me a tape recorder, can I take care of it? And you know, and he says, be careful if you don't turn it off at the right time; it's going to break. So, and I don't remember, you know, I don't do it. So we shikha, we said wasn't shia anyway. Right, said way back there. But even if I did a shia, I pushed the wrong button, I did something that might be matzav yadayim. But you know, if it was a shia, so I'd be patur because you're working for me by coming to this year. So I think that's the halach over here. Now back to the chazan. Why is there a shayla of the chazan? It's a ramah. The same Tash Bates that we spoke out last week brings down a halacha. He says a shliach tzibur, who his lashon is socher l'tzibur, he's hired out for the tzibur in a way that they can't get rid of him. They have to go to him. So since they have to go to him, so the Tash Bates says, if im shol name, if he borrowed something during the time that he was davening, so and he lost it, he was posheya, he'll be parted because they have to come to him to hear his tefila, so they are working for him. And then he continues, but the day that he's davening, when he's actually davening, so he's also working for them. So if they took something from him to watch and they lost it, so then they will be patur because he's working for them. That's what the Tash Bates paskin.
Sort of like the opposite of the rush.
Okay, so that's the good kasha. That's the Minchas Pitim ask. That's the, what do you do with the rush? The rush said if it's a mutual thing, very good, that it's no one's working for each other. And also that he asked, it's not like the Nesivas. Because the Nesivas said as soon as you have someone getting paid, as soon as you get someone paying, there's nothing to talk about anything. If you're paying this Shia Tzibur to Davin, he's your employee. There's nothing else to talk about. So the Minchas Pitim points out, if you look at the Ramah, the way the Ramah brings it down, the Ramah leaves out both of those details. The Ramah in Siman Shin Mem Vav, in Chosh Mishvat Paskin, HaKohol Einan Yicharnu Hishamit Mimeno, Hein Kishulun Lo. If the Kohol, and he doesn't say anything about he's getting paid. It says if the Shliach Tzibur, if it's a Shliach Tzibur, it doesn't say that he's getting paid. So if the Kol is stuck with him, they can't leave, so they are working, they are servicing him. V'imhu einu yachol yishamei mehen, and if he, meaning another case, but if he cannot get out of his job, hu nishol lahen. The Tashbeis had said, gam, v'nir shagam v'yam yimshol meno hen betu shagam hu einu yachol yishamei, that it's also. But the Ramah seems to be saying two separate halachas. I mean, the Chassidim suggests it could be because he holds that that part we don't hold of the Tash Bates. We don't hold of the part that we hold that if you, as soon as you get paid, you're working, and we hold that if it's mutual, so then that cancels each other out, and no one's working. The Aruch has a question: this should be completely different than a Magid Shir. Why do we say a Magid Shir, a Rebbe, is considered to be having these people working for him? Because he gains that he can learn whatever he wants and they'll help him understand things and he won't forget it. Right? That we understood. Why, when they can't switch mesachtas and he can, they're working for him. But a chazan, what's a chazan gain by having people coming to his minyan to hear him daven? What's he gain from that? Right? That's the kasha. Pisnei Choshen Yassi brings our chashulchan, seems to say some teretz. The Tash Bates wants to say it could be there were only 10 people that are stuck here. But what's the chazan gain from it?
Chazan to be heard.
I think that's a good answer. Pisnei Choshen answers. Maybe that's what you mean also. Maybe that's included. Pisnei Choshen says, he says it's dochuk in the words, it could be talking a chazan who has a bad voice and no one likes hearing. But they come anyway, so they're doing him a favor. They're giving him covered. No one else will want to hear him. And they come to hear this person who has a terrible voice, has a terrible bal tefila, and they're going to him. So they're doing him a favor, they're giving him covered, and they're stuck with him, so they're working for him. That's the way Pisnei Choshen answers it. But I was thinking, like Avigdor is saying, that maybe if Pisnei Choshen was never a chazan, but a chazan likes to have an audience, right? So if the chazan has people there that are willing to hear him, and he can do his chazanis, and they appreciate it, that's something that he enjoys. That's something that he likes almost as much as Rebbe giving a shiur. And he has people asking questions and they enjoy it. And then I was thinking, well, it could be maybe more partial. Maybe he's a chiyuv and he needs a minion because he has a yard site, he's an avelus, he needs a minion. So maybe that's why they're considered servicing him. So Lemaisa, this is the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. So our lead question, the Shliach Tzibur on the way up gives someone, one of the mispalim, a cell phone to watch. Is he working for them or not? So if he's getting paid, he's certainly working for them. It's a paid chazan on Yom Yerayim, it won't be the cell phone in that case, it'll be a safer. But certainly he's working for them. But even if he's not getting paid, if the situation is that simply that they are stuck with him and he could go anywhere he wants, so then everyone will agree that he's working for them. Why these svaras? Either because he needs them, he likes giving his voice out to them, or he has a bad voice and they're giving him cover, whatever svara it is. If it's a minion, there's only 10 people in the neighborhood, there's no one else, and he needs them and they need him, so the Tashbeit in his halacha said they're both considered working for each other and he'll still be partner even in that case.